This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
Listen, I know that I'm a stickler for details. I come from the old school, learn it from my dad, and I know our next guest, Bill Chow, is from the old school. I've heard in past places that I've worked that I wasn't that well-liked, because guess what? I held people accountable. And also, guess what? We won!
How about that?
Details, details, details. Details win, details lose. Are you winning now?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
That might be my favorite intro that we have.
Hey, welcome everybody to the RP Show. Paul has just left the building. We had a wonderful pregame meeting, and now he's gone. I said, it's all downhill from here, Paul. Welcome to Canada's daytime sports talk show. We're considering making it North America's daytime sports talk show. We'll see how that goes. But I'll tell you, it's a lot of American topics in the Quick Six Show topics, which we'll get to in a minute. But first, I want to tell you, it's a nice, clean show today. Not a lot of guests, but quality. Quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And Sportsnet will love it because we're going to Winnipeg. Winnipeg Sportsnet Bureau Chief Sean Reynolds will be joining us to talk about the Patrick Laine saga. You know, our viewers in Winnipeg, and there are a ton, they say, you guys don't talk about the Jets enough. I'm sure Kevin Cheveldayoff's probably happy with that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's just a very low drama, things are running well kind of guy.
Yeah.
Except for this Laine thing. So Sean Reynolds will be joining us from Sportsnet Winnipeg to talk about that. And Arash Madani will be with us in hour two from Rogers Sportsnet. And there's a few topics here in the Quick Six that I want to just throw at Arash. So let's do it, Jordan. Can we hit the Quick Six show topics here? It's going to be fun. The World Series is now 1-1. We didn't see Game 2 last night because we were here broadcasting an eSports CFL football game, but Tampa Bay knocked off the Dodgers last night 6-4, and I think that everybody would agree, Darren, we have a series.
Yeah.
At some point, I'll sit down and watch a game.
Okay. Especially
if it gets to Game 6, Game 7.
You know, when it's time to deliver the trophy and there's an elimination game, yeah, we'll be watching for sure.
Everybody's got to admit that there is not the usual pomp and circumstance and flair that if it was Chavez Ravine or even the Trop, I'm sure they'd be packing it here. It's the World Series.
You'd
have fans that cared.
Yeah.
Not sitting there in Arlington, Texas, where nobody really cares. So that's missing a little for me, but I'm not the biggest baseball guy. I could watch the Stanley Cup Finals all the way to end with nobody in the crowd, and I'm happy. I just think it's missing something with baseball.
I agree.
Point two, interesting one here. The Seattle Seahawks talking about bringing in Antonio Brown. And my first thought was, how does this get out? How does this get out? How does Adam Schefter know that the Seahawks want to bring him in? If you want him, bring him in. Nobody needs to know. Somebody leaked that to Adam Schefter at ESPN.
Yeah, and why wouldn't it come from the Antonio Brown camp?
Or the Seahawks themselves.
You know, you look at the team side of it, the meeting they're having around is, we want to bring in Antonio Brown. Russell Wilson's
wants Antonio Brown.
He'd be really great opposite DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And they're sitting there in these PR meetings and in these ownership meetings and in the GM meetings being like, but he's a bad dude. Is he going to upset the culture? What are our fans going to say? Well, let's get Schefter to put this out and take the temperature for us.
And see what they say.
Right? It doesn't have to come from the team. We can always deny it.
That's obviously what they're doing. So that's where you can use the media to help you. That was the first point I thought. And then the second point I thought was, would I want Antonio Brown on my team if I was the Seattle Seahawks or any pro football team? And I think the answer right now would be no. And here's why. Here's what I would need to have done. Everybody in sports, or most people in sports, know what I do when I leave here, and that's a recovery coach with athletes, entertainers, and some military. I would want assurances that Antonio Brown has changed. At this time, there's no assurance that he hasn't changed. There's still an open file on him for assault. So what I would want is from some sort of recovery coach, a guy that does what I do, that's working with him on a daily basis. Because I work with one league and some teams where they'll just send me a guy like Antonio Brown. And then they'll, after a month, go, Rod, what, thumbs up or thumbs down? Yeah, he's good. Or no, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. I don't recall Antonio Brown ever standing before the cameras and saying, I screwed up, I'm going to change, and I'm going to work every day to turn my life around. I haven't seen him do that.
No.
And until he does that, and maybe the Seahawks have a recovery coach on staff. I don't think that they do. A lot of teams do. That's how this is so cutting edge. Because you know what? The coaches and the GMs are too busy running a football team. They can't worry about what Antonio Brown's doing every day. Leave that to guys like me. We'll deal with them every day. And we'll report to you where we think they're at. They haven't done that. I wouldn't bring them in. And I guess what? They're waiting to hear what the temperature is of their fan base, whether they bring him in or not? That's scary.
That, and, you know, this could come from the Antonio Brown camp, too, being like, look, he's ready to come back. Let's start talking about the teams we're interested in. So it puts some pressure on other teams to get your offers on the table, if you want me. See what heat there is on his side. But they have to see what the temperature is on the PR side, if it's going to upset the apple cart. This is an undefeated football team. By the way, an undefeated football team. So you really got to be careful about upsetting the culture in that locker room. And then you want to bring him in potentially and have him meet the guys and have a meeting and see where he's at yourself. Look him in the eyes, right? See if he's changed. See if you believe it.
I would still like to see a third party brought in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How can you trust that Antonio Brown's changed?
Who's he been working
with? Oh, he hasn't tweeted in a month. Oh, he must be good then. Point three. To the Blackhawks, I saw Elliot Freeman going deep on this on Sportsnet, connected with the guys. Your team announces a rebuild. How do you feel about that? Because I remember specifically where I believe this became a swear word in sports. It was 2011. In our world, it was 2011. Riders sucked. They were 1-7. They fired Greg Marshall, the head coach. They brought in Ken Miller, beloved Grandpa Miller. And I think they finished 5-13. Everybody gets fired at the end of the year, and they bring in Corey Chamberlain. And Brennan Tammond's installed as the full-time GM. They wouldn't say rebuild. Because I'm badgering them. I'm the voice of the team. Come on, just say a rebuild. They didn't want to say rebuild. Because they knew the fans view that as a swear word, and they won't buy tickets. And maybe they're not going to watch the games until they're good again.
Yeah,
that's where rebuild, to in my world, where it came on the radar as a swear word. Yes. But if my team's saying they're in a rebuild, I'd like to think I'm smart enough to know that they're in a rebuild. Well, I don't need them to tell me whether they are or they're not.
That's true. That's true. You know, the rebuild thing, it just kind of says to your fan base, okay, guys, just hang on. We're not trying to win this year. We're probably not trying to win next year, but the year after, that's going to be our year. And so the fans will say, okay, I'll see you then. You know, they're not going to buy tickets in the meantime. So I understand that side of the rebuild, and I understand why they're upset in Chicago, because I mean, the team has those stars, and you still keep thinking about Taze and Kane and Duncan Keith as being the Stanley Cup champion, star league leaders that they've been, and not the aging kind of superstars that are on the back nine. They've still got lots of game left, but so it's tough. But they just won a big playoff series. They have some momentum, you know, with Kubalik and with Kirby Dach. They've got good young talent, too. They've got a little bit of that connection of everything that if they can just add a couple of pieces, they could keep contending. So that's super disappointing for the fan base and for those older stars.
Here's our point counterpoint face off, I guess, for Ultimate Fan Zone and Matt Greek. You're going to have to do a rebuild at some time. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing with Friedman was he mentioned Seabrook in that group.
Yeah, he's in there.
And what Elliot Friedman was saying is he thinks they're all going to stay. It seems like they don't want to leave. If I'm Stan Bowman, I'd want to move those guys, all of them. Because you can get tremendous young players back right now. You piece them off to four different teams, think of what you could get. Your rebuild's accelerated real fast.
Really fast.
But none of those guys want to leave.
Well, and none of those guys will be around to be leaders and build the culture and teach the young guys how to be pros, right? So you want them in the locker room because that's going to accelerate the development of Kirby Dach. But you also, because it protects him, right? There's not as much pressure on him. He can just go about doing his thing. But if you move him out, you're right. You get some high draft picks. You get some pretty good pieces in place.
I'd be getting rid of them yesterday.
Especially to contend.
So where are you on
the
terminology of a rebuild? Why is it a swear word? This is what we're doing. Are you on board or are you not?
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, especially for those old guys, you never want to take it. You only have so many years to play sports. You only have so many years to compete. You never want to give one away and say, yeah, we're just going to try and, you know, we're not going to try and win this year. We're trying to build for later.
That's
later is when you're not going to be here.
So Carlos in Indianapolis is watching right now. He says fans and teams don't have the patience that they used to have. Teams and players have to win now instead of allowing for a couple of seasons to develop. Well, guess what? Back off. The strongest GMs and coaches will tell you that. Who cares what the term rebuild is, whether you use it? You still have to do it. Whether you want to call it that or not, you still got
to
do it.
You have to do it.
So what are you? I'm just wondering if we're on the same side here or not.
I don't think we are completely. I mean, I don't think Chicago should rebuild yet. I think they're in a good spot.
Oh, really?
I think they've got enough young talent. I think the development of the franchise will be better if they continue on the trajectory that they're on, which is, you know, keep the young guys that they have, but add a piece and try and win something.
They feel that they're middling along right now, and with the lineup that they have, they're not going to win championships.
One foot in each pool.
Right. So they're like, if you're not in it to win it all, forget it. What is the noted philosopher Ricky Bobby say? If you're not first, you're last. And that's why they've got three championships under Stan Bowman. So anyways, I got this out of the way early. We don't pre-script what we're going to argue about, believe me. But today, it was that, the Blackhawks and the rebuild, and it is for the Mad Greek. Visit the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, for the best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your official licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, built by the fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. I'm going there today.
Nice.
I'm having lunch with all those guys, and then I'm going to visit the Moose Jaw Warriors right in Mosaic Place.
That'll be great.
It's going to be a great day.
That'll be awesome. The last point on this was Kurt Warner's piece on Tua and Fitzmagic. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Kurt Warner said it reminded him of being in New York, and he was the starter, and they had this young quarterback, Eli Manning, in behind, and the plan was always to start him, same way that it's happening with Tua in Miami. And Kurt Warner had the team in a playoff spot. They were a playoff team, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 games into the season, and they made the switch. But they knew, and Kirk knew, that it wasn't about that season. It was about the future, and the future turned out pretty well for the New York Jets, or Giants, I mean.
Just a little bit. Two Super Bowls along the way.
So for Miami, it's kind of the same situation.
Moving on, point four. I'm more to put this to Arash Madani in hour two, but should Mark Shapiro's contract be renewed as president of the Toronto Blue Jays, president of baseball operations? I didn't even know that his contract was up. I was seeing the interview with him. He had a conference call with media yesterday, and he basically said, hey, we're on the right track. How can you argue with what they've done? They've been to hell and back with this guy since they got rid of Alex Anthopoulos. I want to put that to a rash, but I'll say this. There's something about Shapiro I don't necessarily like. Just don't get a good vibe off of him. But I don't think he should not have his contract renewed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They seem to be on the right track.
Well, yeah. They went into a little bit of a rebuild after those couple of great seasons in the playoffs. And they got back to the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're getting better.
So let's see where they are in a year or two from now. I think he's at least earned another 2 or 3 seasons.
Just checking in with our folks that have joined us for coffee today. John Ohm. Ohm in Winnipeg writes in. He says, Line A will remain a Jet. Prove me wrong. Well, we got Sean Reynolds coming up from Sportsnet Winnipeg. He'll have some thoughts on that. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, what have the Leafs done for the last 40 years? They seem to constantly rebuild. So our subject, different topic, another day. Point five, Thursday night football tonight. It's the Giants and the Eagles from the Link. And it's led to our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who will emerge and win the NFC least? The Giants, the Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, or Washington? What are they saying on Facebook, Dupes?
The Eagles at 52%. Cowboys behind it at 32%.
Take it easy. The Eagles are leading on Facebook and also on Twitter with 53% of the vote. They say the Eagles will win the division, and I can't argue with that. I don't care. It's over.
Yeah. If we have Eagles,
it's over for the Cowboys.
Giants and Cowboys, it should say football team, not Washington. It should just say football.
Clark asked. What should we call it? We agreed on Washington.
Right.
And that's Thursday night football. Point six, Wednesday night football. You got to see this, folks. The Saskatchewan Roughriders rolled over the Hamilton Tiger Cats 29-14 at Virtual Mosaic Stadium last night. It was a heck of a football game. Cody Fajardo was voted player of the game by the fans. 354 yards. He tossed for two touchdowns. But there was a very ugly incident in the game. And folks, you've heard us talk about our CFL sim, computer simulated games. This happened last night. Darren and I were calling it. It was in about the third quarter, I think. We have the video of it. This has been sent to the league commissioner. Simone Lawrence with a very dirty headshot on Cody Fajardo. Clark has the video. Can you roll that, Clark, please? Defensive coordinator in Hamilton, by the way, is Mark Washington. Spent many good years with the defense as the defensive coordinator of the BC Lions. Oh, Lawrence! Can you roll that back? This looks like a dangerous shot by Simone Lawrence on Cody Fajardo.
Holy smokes.
Oh, it's a headshot. We got to send this in to Commissioner Andy Rambrosi. Can we see it again? Too late?
You find that funny?
It's hilarious. This game is so on brand.
And there you go. That was last night. So we're awaiting word from Commissioner Andy Rambrosi on a potential fine suspension for Simone Lawrence for the headshot. John in Winnipeg says the sim last night was awesome. Great job, Rod Peterson Show. A football coach sending me this DM on Twitter here this morning. I'm not going to name him, but he says, my gosh, last night's sim game was so entertaining, almost like watching the real thing. Thank you to you, Darren, and the crew for making an old man's evening a bit brighter. Take care and have a great weekend, sir. It was a blast. Mandy in Edmonton says, any CFL talk today other than sim? And how about that Simone play last night? LMAO. There's no CFL talk today. Of the 344 shows we've done, this is about the fourth that we don't have any actual CFL talk to get to today, unless you have something. Like, there's been nothing happened in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, no, there hasn't.
No.
But you know what? I mean, we're still in the middle of the news cycle of the day, and something may drop during the show, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah. So those are the Quick Six show topics, and we got into the face-off early today for the Ultimate Fan Zone in Mad Greek. I'll tell you that the rock star of the day yesterday finished in a tie between Matt Dunstone of the famed Team Dunstone and Dustin Nielsen of TSN Edmonton. You can vote at the end of the day for the rock star of the day on our Twitter poll at Rod Peterson Show. I'll just say this about the Canadian Football League, and Mandy wants an update. There's no update. If anybody wants to slip us out some news, we'll talk about it. The only thing that came out yesterday was Dave Naylor saying that if there's no season in 2021, the league will be mothballed. Not real interested in going down that road, not today. So Sean Reynolds will join us from Sportsnet next to talk about the Line A situation and more. A Winnipeg update on the way.
There we go.
It's the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and thanks for rejoining us today. Just want to tell you the text line is open. The Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. If you have any questions or comments, Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer, but headquartered in Winnipeg. We do have some questions about the CFL sim. We'll get to those in a moment. I don't want to keep Sean Reynolds waiting any longer. He joins us from Sportsnet Winnipeg in the Manitoba capital. I will say Canada's hockey capital, and in a minute I'll say why it is that. But good morning, Sean. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, Rod?
Good, good. Hey, I was watching your outstanding report on Patrick Laine the other day, and I'm like, we got to get Sean on to talk about that. But before we go any further, the reason I call it the hockey capital, and you won't be surprised, NHL, AHL, WHL, MJHL, you just added another Junior A team in the Winnipeg Freeze. I would say it's Canada's hockey capital.
Yeah, we just got to start putting more players in the NHL, I think. That's the one area I think Manitoba's fallen behind a little bit. We got to start pumping and getting some more star players. I always find it interesting when you see all these Finnish players come over and they come from these towns that are roughly the size of Brandon, And you got Alexander Barkov and Patrick Laine from these places, and you take a look at a city like Brandon that's had the Wheat Kings for years, and you're expecting, you know, similar size stars to come out of those markets. We got to get back to producing players like those.
Yeah, no, well, it certainly goes in cycles, I think, and I'm sure it's coming. I mean, good Lord, you got enough hockey there and enough development and enough population. But watching your Line A report, it struck me that you must be a born and raised Winnipegger. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I'm from a small town about an hour outside Winnipeg, but that's interesting that you picked that up. Why'd you land on that?
Well, I will tell you, but what's the small town that you're from?
It's called Lac de Bonnie.
Lac de Bonnie. I might have driven by it.
Near Beausejour, close to Selkirk. I played football in Selkirk when I was younger. Selkirk is one of the junior A cities that you're speaking about.
Of course. So how did I pick it up? Yeah. It was because you talked about Line A wanting out, and you said, just like the string of Hawerchuk and Solane, and now Line A. But let's just talk about that for a second. They're all for different reasons, though. Wouldn't you say that they had to leave?
Yeah, by saying that, and it's interesting, you know, Twitter, if there's ever any, you know, kind of potential, you know, gray area in what you say, Twitter will let you know it. And someone came and said it was lazy journalism that I was comparing Line A's leaving to some of these other players like Solane. I wasn't by any means saying that, you know, they're all leaving for the same reason. What I was saying is there's a history in Winnipeg of us watching star players leave time and time again, and it hurts every time it happens. And if that happens with Patrick Laine, it's gonna hurt, because people in this town have loved Laine since day one, and if he finds his way to another city, that's gonna be tough for a lot of fans.
Yeah, so that's how I could feel the emotion in your report. So it wasn't lazy journalism. I'm like, this guy's hurting. And with Ducky, I know why he left. The dispute with Neil Smith. I don't really remember Solane. Maybe you can fill me in. And now with Line A, it's just because he's not on the first line. Like, holy pouty pants? Or have I misread that situation?
I don't know that you've misread it. I think that the rub lies in whether or not that's a big enough reason. I think the one stat that stands out, you know, when I was doing that story, Laine is seventh in scoring since he came into the league, and a good chunk of that he did as a teenager. And it just makes you think, if this guy's the seventh best scorer, you know, proven best scorer, seventh best in the league since he came in, and he's done that not on the first line, it makes you wonder what he could do if he was on that first line. And that's clearly what he's going to be wondering. And before I came on the show, you know, I'd forgot about this stat. I'd trotted it out a couple of years ago. And then, so I don't have the exact stat, but I do know the year that Laine went over 40. He was playing on the second line. Brian Little was his centerman. And when I went down and broke it down, Little had assisted on something like six of Laine's 44 goals. And that what that told me was that Laine was scoring when he escaped that second line. When he got off that line and got opportunities, that's when he was doing his scoring. So, you know, we always remember what it was like to be young men in our late teens or early 20s, how fiery and passionate we could be, how fully convinced of certain things. And, you know, we knew more than our dads did. And they said, just hold on, son, take it easy, you know, take it all in. And you don't want to at that age. And so you've got a young guy who has proven time and time again that when you give him opportunities, he's going to score. He scored regardless. The other big question that I'm sure he's asking himself and his representation is asking himself is how many other teams in the league of the 30 other teams, how many of those teams wouldn't have Patrick Laine on the top line? If you start looking around and seeing that number is probably in the high 20s, if not higher, then you've got a kid who's looking around and thinking that his situation could be better almost anywhere else than where he is right now.
Wow. So I'm wondering, because the one thing that wasn't in your report, you said the agent said maybe the best thing is for a trade. Where do Chevy and Paul Maurice sit on this? Because you talk about the dads. They're the dads of this situation. They can't, like, unrest. Like, my thing is, if a guy doesn't want to be here, he should go. Where are the Jets sitting on that? Those two guys in particular.
Well, I don't want to speak for them. I can say that I don't think it's easy when it comes to star players and just letting them go, because you take a look at a team like Vegas, and they can just bring in stars and move other guys, because they know if they, as long as they can dump that salary that they brought in, they'll find someone else who wants to come play in a tax-free state. And it's got a great arena, a great organization, great fans. It's easy to draw guys in there. We know that it's not like that in Winnipeg. We know you just can't turn around and go and grab the biggest guy on the market and bring him to Winnipeg. So that becomes a problem. So I do feel for Kevin Cheveldayoff in the manner that you can't just let these guys go. On the other hand, you got to ask yourself whether or not Patrick Laine plans on staying long-term with the Winnipeg Jets. Right now, he's following the exact same path out of town, this is what I see, as Jacob Trouba did. He did his three-year entry-level deal. He did a two-year bridge deal. Laine is in the second year coming up of that two-year bridge deal. And then you've got arbitration rights and 2 years of team control after that. I don't think the Jets felt in the end that long battle they went back and forth with on Trouba when he wanted to leave, but they held on to him until that very last year. I don't think in the end, even though I think they did really good with what they got, better than they probably should have, I think they felt maybe if they would have moved him earlier, they could have got more. So now you're in that same situation with Patrick Laine. If he's not going to stay and you only have three more years of team control, then what can you take that asset and turn it into long-term? And here's the really interesting part of it is, with all that's happened with COVID, it's tough to fit big players into your salary cap, and Patrick Laine is going to need a raise. So right off the bat, if you are thinking, let's move this guy and get something that's going to carry us to success for years down the road, it's hard to do that as it is right now because there aren't a lot of teams that can take him on. Well, we don't know what this upcoming season is going to look like. And financially, teams could find themselves in even worse shape next summer than they are this summer. So the fact of the matter is, it may never be a better time to move Patrick Laine right now. And that's what Kevin Cheveldayoff has to consider. If the decision is, we're going to move him, the other decision could be, look, we feel we've got a window right now. We've got 3 years of team control. Let's use him for those 3 years. That's the best chance we have at winning a cup. He's in town, and then we're going to lose him for nothing, but at least we put our best foot forward. I think those are the two situations that they're weighing, but the idea of what you could get for Patrick Laine on the open market that could carry this team for years to come, that has to be enticing, especially if there's a player that wants that.
See, that's what I'm thinking. And obviously, those are the discussions that are being held behind closed doors daily, probably in Winnipeg. But from our resident Flyers fan, Todd Pinckney writes in and says, can we rehash the Line A to Flyers trade rumors? They seem to be the only team the Jets have discussed to trade with so far. Do you think that might happen?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I think you take a look around, and I think if you're the Jets and you're going to move a premier asset like Patrick Laine, what you need most is defense. So you're going to need to have to go out and get a premier defenseman back, and probably some prospects that are going to be able to carry you forward. So right off the bat, you have to deal with teams that have, you know, those kind of defensemen who they have enough room to move. I see Philly as being one of those teams. I see Carolina as being one of those teams. But you know, the problem with moving a guy like Patrick Laine is you're going to want a 1A defenseman in return for him. And is Philly going to move Ivan Provorov? I don't think so. Potentially a Travis Sanheim. I think that would be interesting to explore. Maybe you go the route of taking two very solid, 2A defensemen, or a 1B. And then take another solid defenseman along with that and some guys that you have team control of for a while, because that's always enticing in Winnipeg to have guys that you've got locked up for a number of years. But that's the tricky part I don't think you win a trade with where you're trading away Patrick Laine, because the old adage that, you know, whoever gets the best player wins the trade, it's going to be hard to find a team that's going to give you a better player back than you gave in Patrick Laine. And I think the funny part about that is, when we come back to the way that Patrick Laine is thinking about this, you hear all this talk, and I think that the Jets probably feel this way. We can't win a Patrick Laine trade because he's going to be the best player in a trade. You can't possibly trade a player the caliber of Patrick Laine and win that trade. And I think he's probably sitting there and hearing that and thinking, hey, if you can't possibly win a trade because I'm that high of a caliber of a player, then why am I not playing on your first line?
Of course he's saying that. Well, with Sanheim and Provorov, at least they both know Manitoba. One's from there and one played there. But so great, great eye on that. Sean, two last questions. One, it's been coming up on the show the last couple of days. January 1st, do you feel the NHL will start on that date, as the commissioner has said?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think that he said specifically, you know, it's going to start on that day. I think that became the target after December 1st. I think when we were in Edmonton, we were covering the playoffs. I don't think any of us felt that December 1st was, you know, a target that they were going to be able to achieve. My sense is probably mid to late January. That's what I would think. I think they'd be doing well to start at that point.
Well, I'll take it. I think we'd all take it. Sean, what did you do before Sportsnet?
I was the late night news anchor at CBC, did some radio reporting for them. Before that, I was at, you know, bouncing around the news part of the industry. Before that, I operated a roofing company. And I used to do, I didn't spend any time in Saskatchewan. I almost went to Saskatchewan to work on the oil rigs, but I used to do heavy duty construction and camp jobs in Alberta, Northwest Territories. We helped build a diamond mine in the Northwest Territories, Divac Diamond Mine. So I kind of have a tale of two different lives. I used to build like bridges and overpasses and mines, and then got out of that and went in a kind of a completely different direction. So,
well, then you know what real work is, and what we're doing here is not that. But good for you. You're crushing it out there. I could talk to you all day. Sean, thanks for this. Keep in touch and stay safe out there in Manitoba.
Appreciate that, Rod. Thank you. You as well.
Sean Reynolds joining us from Sportsnet Manitoba. And I'm telling you, like, literally, when he got hired there, Darren, it was like, boom, on the scene, Sean Reynolds. I'm like, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
Now it finds out he's on oil rigs.
Right.
And building bridges. Real work. Caesar writes in, says, morning, boys. Sorry I'm late. What did I miss? Caesar, we just got Patrick Laine figured out. Traded to Philly.
Yeah. Probably not for Provorov, but Sanheim will be pretty good.
You know, hey, and by the way, well, we got a break here right away and come back with some stuff. And I don't know, Mandy, tell me if you're still watching. I'd like to answer your question about CFL Sim. I don't know where or how I missed this, but I see Sid from Tim and Sid tweeting this morning that the Raptors are going to play out of Louisville this year.
I heard that.
I don't know where that came from.
Right. They're worried about not being able to play in Canada, just like the Jays. So they're trying to figure out where they would get to play.
Louisville, of all places, I don't know. I just saw this tweet from Sid, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Sean Reynolds there. Like, whether they start January 1st or not, I don't really care. It sounds like they're going to play no matter what. So at least they're going to play. And then you got the NBA moving the Raptors to the States, just like the Blue Jays, like you say. Well, this does not look good for the CFL.
Doesn't look great.
No, it does not look good for the CFL. Okay, Mandy, I'll answer your question when we come back. And please, can you ask it again? Because it's very far back in the string what your initial question was. It's the RP Show. Again, thanks to Sean Reynolds. We'll be right back. You're watching Across North America on Game Plus TV in Manitoba on Bell MTS Cable province-wide. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. We got a sports update coming up, and then a big surprise has just shown up in the bunker here. But Mandy in Edmonton asked, has anyone ever asked actual CFL players to participate in the CFL Sim? She says, I know a lot of them are bored and love video games. I even know one player who would like to play in it. Have we thought about that? I don't know. We talked to the CFL, and the CFL said, you guys have a green light. If you want to bring players on, go ahead. I just don't know if we've asked any.
You don't know this yet.
Okay.
But I've had a couple conversations
with
a couple of league owners throughout North America about potentially purchasing our own esports team. It's actually quite affordable, and the players would be able to play in the game.
Wait a minute. That guy reached out to us. I knew about that.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you knew we had the meeting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know you had the meeting.
Yeah. but it's cool. But no, the players, I mean, they take part in the comments. Nobody actually plays the video games. We let it all go with the computer sim, but they interact and they take part as much as they can.
Maybe in the playoffs, we'll bring the actual CFL players in. Like, there's nothing stopping us from doing it. The CFL has green-lighted it. I'm right now just happy with when players watch the game and comment.
Oh, yeah.
When we've had Cody Fajardo, Don Narcisse,
Deion Lacy,
John Chick, Deion
Singleton,
Lacy, Richie Leone,
yeah,
Marco Dubois, Alex Singleton. A lot of the guys have been watching and commenting. That's more fun to me. But yeah, I don't know. I just sit here and talk every day. These guys come up with all the heavy lifting.
Right.
Sports update, Brandon Lowe hit two home runs to break out of an extended postseason slump, and the Tampa Bay Rays held off the L.A. Dodgers 6-4, tying the World Series at one game each after falling behind 5-0. Dodgers star Corey Seager hit a leadoff drive in the eighth for his seventh homer this postseason to make it a two-run game, but Tampa's bullpen held on from there. Game three goes on Friday. Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro set an optimistic tone during his first general media availability since the team was eliminated from the postseason a few weeks ago. Despite the lack of gate revenue in 2020, Shapiro said there has been consistent support from Rogers ownership and consistent encouragement to progress with team plans, including the pursuit of free agents this offseason. His contract's up at the end of the year, and I'm going to ask Arash next hour his thoughts on if Shapiro should be renewed. Former Masters champion Adam Scott has tested positive for COVID-19 and is pulled out of the Zozo Championship at Sherwood in California. Scott is the second high-profile golfer to test positive in as many weeks. World number one Dustin Johnson tested positive last week in Vegas. And Richard Petty Motorsports will enter the next chapter of its storied history with driver Eric Jones. The pairing gives Petty a proven winner to replace Bubba Wallace, who is leaving at the end of the season. His departure could have crippled the cash-strapped Petty organization, but the team instead landed one of the top two available talents. Jones was dropped by mega team Joe Gibbs Racing in August after six seasons. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. We are now booking for your company Christmas parties. We can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. And does it ever.
Oh, yeah.
You want to show the masses what we got here in the bunker today? Do you have a knife?
I don't need one now. I got all the
hold that up
the
to the
tape
camera.
Off, but take a peek at this.
Your daily wings.
Oh, yeah.
Here and it's not chicken wings, folks. Show them the other side of it, of the box.
They're zooming in. Red Bull.
And then flip it around.
And then it just says the same thing.
Not quite. It says gives you wings.
Red Bull?
Gives you wings.
There you go. So, gifts showed up. I went to get a coffee in the break, and this was sitting in my office.
Who delivered it?
Whoa.
Oh.
So here you go.
Can I see that? What do we got here?
Take that.
Hey, Rod Peterson Show. Here's some winter wings to kick off the holiday season. Enjoy.
Frondra
Ford.
Frosted Berry, the winter edition.
Ah, so Give me some.
I'm excited for this. This is going to be great. And then, so we got a new stock.
Give me.
You want these ones?
One, yeah.
All right, you take those. There you go.
And they're cold.
Oh, yeah.
How do you serve them cold?
She shipped them cold.
How does this happen?
Customer service is not lost on Red Bull. Okay? Customer service is not lost.
Oh. Frosted Berry energy drink, because I need more energy. Artificially flavored. The winter edition from Red Bull Canada.
Hour two
Red Bull gives you wings. Hour two will be bouncing off the ceiling. I love it. Thank you, Andra. She's a big supporter over there.
Oh, yeah.
At Red Bull Canada.
Yeah.
Mandy in Edmonton, regarding the CFL Sims, she says, you guys do great, entertaining coverage of the games. I'll tell the player to go to the CFL Sim Twitter page or to the RP show to inquire how to play. Have a great day later. Mandy, out.
Did you
CFL Sim Esports, again, last night, Saskatchewan stomping Hamilton 29-14, and the Ticats are officially eliminated from the playoff contention in CFL Sim. People saying, hey, they were in the Grey Cup last year. How could they miss the playoffs? Well, we talked about it on the broadcast last night. It's called sophomore jinx.
Go look at...
Don't at me.
CFL history. You know, of teams that, you know, get to the Grey Cup and where they're at next year. I mean, it's how it goes. Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're not. Those expectations are pretty tough.
It's why we love sports.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The unpredictability of it.
Yeah.
Brian Snow's checking in from Carolina. Howdy, Snowman. Thanks for joining us. Dwayne Light from Canada's football capital watching. Kipling, Saskatchewan. He says, I thought it was chicken wings. Glad to see it's Red Bull. To the text line we go as we open up Viewer Takeover a little early here. You can always write us at 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your authorized Sastel Mobility dealer. Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta writes in and says the Jets apparently talking to the Islanders about Line A, but they want Ryan Pulock back. Pulock is a Manitoba boy too. Listen, you're not going to get Patrick Line A for nothing. It doesn't matter that he wants out.
Right. I think what Winnipeg should do is they should also try and sneak Nolan Patrick into the deal. Former number one pick, hasn't done anything in the NHL really. Maybe doesn't have a ton of trade value, but just sneak him in. Because he had so much success in Brandon and he was so good in that environment. Let him come to Winnipeg and take a chance. He might be somebody that pays off.
I just think Line A's got to go. I think he's a great guy. I think he's highly immature, and it's coming from a guy who's been highly immature most of my life. I can see it in other people. And if he doesn't want to be there, he shouldn't be there. I know I relate a lot of these sort of stories to my time with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but sports is sports, and I'll give you an example. After the Riders won the 2007 Grey Cup, almost immediately, like within a month, Ken Austin had an opportunity to go coach at Ole Miss. And, you know, there was a faction here that wanted to keep Kent Austin to his contract. He had two more years left on it. He was only 1 year into a three-year deal. He just won the Grey Cup. He's coach of the year. And Jim Hopson, the president, says, we got to let him go. He told Eric Tillman that. He goes, we can't be an organization that holds people back. That's bad karma that'll bite you. And I'm not saying the Jets will be in for bad karma. If they don't, other Winnipeg teams notwithstanding, that's another matter. But it's just if Line A won. So what purpose are you serving keeping him there? If he's going to be disgruntled and be a problem. Some guy wrote in here earlier about AB signing with the Seattle Seahawks. They said he's just one player. Drop one little drop of poison into a big vat of water and tell me what it does to it.
You're right. And, you know, I think they're worried about getting fleeced on a trade or about Line A going somewhere else and being so successful and really making you look bad. Well, no, because the guys you're going to bring in are going to be better for you than Line A was. Doesn't matter if Line A's better over there than the guys you bring in are here. It's about, are you getting a better return? So are you getting better culture and a little more production? Then it's a win, even if they are too. Like, newsflash, both sides can win a trade.
Right. Well, ideally, I think that's what you want.
Right. So don't be worried about what he's doing over there. Too many times, and that's a losing mentality when you start to look at, well, he went over there and he did this. Well, that's cool, but he was never going to do that for you because he didn't like playing there and the environment was bad and it was bad for the culture. So just because somebody went over there and became a league MVP doesn't mean he was ever going to do that for you. You still can win the trade by improving your culture and getting different players in.
Viewer Takeover coming up next. You can tweet us at Rod Peterson Show. Text us on the Prairie Mobile text line. We'll check the poll results, and I'm going to enjoy a little more of this Red Bull, the winter edition. Nice. Frosted beer. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Good.
We'll be right back. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and please leave us a review and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Back broadcasting from the pulpit.
That's a new one.
It's the RP Show coming to you from the bunker here. It's Viewer Takeover. I've noticed that our hate mail has dropped considerably.
What is happening?
Since I've stopped dabbling in politics, hate mail's gone. Boop. I knew they'd forget. People forget. But we do like reading viewer questions, and let's do that here in the viewer takeover right now. Craig Taylor writes in. He says, Roddy, why do you keep that microphone in front of your face? I find it a little distracting, but enjoy the show otherwise. Keep up the good work. Why? I moved it because my chiropractor said, Rod, your neck is getting screwed because you're leaning over this microphone all the time. Can you prop it up? My chiropractor is very happy. You guys aren't. I know this mic boom is creating a weird shadow on my chest. I don't know what to do. I've been in radio for 30 years. I never worried about what it looked like.
Yeah, don't worry.
I just knew to speak into the microphone. That's it. Everybody will be happy. TV's new to me. You guys were all running around going off about how great Sean Reynolds looked in his interview with lighting. I didn't even notice. He's clearly good. The guy would look good in the dark.
That is true. That is true. I like it. Don't worry about it. I mean, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's good.
The guy said it's a little distracting. We don't want to distract our viewers, but I'm not a good-looking guy. I think more of the mic in front of my face, the better. Robin in Prince Albert says, if Line A wants out, I would trade him, but have that conversation. If you want out, that's fine, but we need a certain value for you. Yeah, but that's not up to Line A. And it's like, oh, Chevy has been around the block a few times. He's not going to give him up if he doesn't get what he wants. So they're not having a fire sale for Patrick Laine here.
No. But at some point, if he's not doing anything for you, then you might have to give him up for less than you think he's worth. And that might be a good return for you because it's better than the alternative. Keeping him there, unhappy, not producing, upsetting the team.
You get my point.
I get your point.
Gary in Winnipeg says, I like the Nolan Patrick angle concerning Laine. Hey, Winnipeg's perked up today. They're all tuned in.
Yeah, and did you see the comment from Gary earlier? He's got his travel mug now.
I didn't see it.
He's got his RP Show travel mug. So, Gary, I'm glad to hear you got it, and I hope it's great. I used mine at curling on the weekend. So
thermal mug.
They're awesome. RodPetersonShop.com. There's still some left.
Can you please put the comment up from Brett Upton, guys, regarding the new Red Bull Frosted Berry, the winter edition? They shipped it cold. How'd they do that? It's magic. Came in a box and it was cold. You said it's minus 12 outside. That's why.
Oh, don't. At first I said, they know customer service. And right. Then I followed it up with.
Brett Upton says, Rod is like a kid at Christmas when it comes to the new Red Bull flavor. And no, that's not a bad thing. I said to Darren the other day, I'm 47. I feel 27. Maybe 17. That's a good thing.
You'll feel 17 by the time you're done that.
Oh, yeah. I'll be flying out of here. Woo! Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Brady in Saskatoon writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. Brady says, hey, Rod, I think starting Tua this early was a bad idea. Fitz was winning them games. John Frenzy was on the cover of our Bridges newspaper here in Saskatoon this week. Inspirational quote. Life is full of ups and downs, but it's how you navigate them that matters the most. I think that was an inspirational quote from John Lynch.
He's full of them.
Yes, yeah.
He's full of them. No,
we've quoted two noted philosophers today, John Lynch and Ricky Bobby.
Yes, we have. And, I mean, John deserves it, though. He deserves all the credit.
All the plaudits.
And we need more John Lynch. Not necessarily, you know, on every day, but we need more, like, people need to appreciate John, and I think they're starting to, and we're putting him onto the country. And who would have thought that at the age he is now, that he'd be growing across the country now and reinventing himself as a broadcaster? It's amazing.
He loves it.
It's great.
Viewer Paul Shank says, turn off the advertising. What's Paul referring to? The Red Bull talk?
I'm not sure.
Hey, Paul. I'll do the talking, you do the watching. And if you don't like it, you can turn us off. Just go. Beat it. Scram. Because without sponsors, we won't be here. So I'll say it again, Paul. I do the talking, you do the watching. That's how it works. You don't tell us what to talk about. Next hour, Arash Madani will join us to talk about our quick six show topics here. World Series 1-1. Should the Seahawks sign AB? Your team announces a rebuild. How do you feel about that? Should Mark Shapiro's contract be renewed? That's the big one that I want to talk to him about. That and more coming up in hour two on Facebook Live. For the rest, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Game Plus. Woo. I don't know. This is not an online therapy session whatsoever.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.